B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's the response I'm getting right now that, you know, New England is the best situation for a young quarterback to come into and have an impact early in his professional career, though it's going to be a great challenge and it's going to be a rough road if I just so happen to play next year. You know, it's going to be a lot of hard work. It's going to take a lot of time to learn the offense, and I'm sure the transition from college to professional ranks is really rough.
Who's that guy?
Okay, this is normal people.
No, who is that guy?
Now you're acting like this is weird or something.
Oh, yeah, it is. I have no idea. If Jim had not said, hey, this is Zoe, I was like, what is this? What are we playing?
It's got a little Forrest Gump to it.
Give us the beginning again.
Yeah, can we hear that again, please, Jim? I can't believe
this is a half-hour show with Zoe on the Jamie King show.
A well-spoken draft pick, by the way, though.
Now, this
gotta
is
say, that's a good answer.
So this
standard,
is
a job, Zoe.
Textbook answer.
No, really. I mean,
coach well by dad. My dad coached
if,
me well.
If that's the answer you were given at what? How old were you? 22?
22.
20. Yeah, right. That's a good answer.
So this is about 9 years before Games on Four.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's told
yeah.
Me
10 years.
He didn't want to start in the NFL right away. He wanted to sit and wait. How do you feel about that? Are you kind of saying, I want to learn, of course, but do you want on-the-job training or do you just want to wait a little bit?
You're kind of in between right now. You're really not sure whether you're ready to play, but you also want to play, you know, and it comes down to, you know, say you don't want to play and then you get out there that Sunday and you feel all the surroundings of the game, the atmosphere, and it really pumps you up and you're like, that's when you really want to play. And so you really have to gear yourself to play no matter what's going to happen, whether I'm the backup or not. You know, you never know when the starter's going to go down. It's the same way it was at Maryland. I had to be ready to play at any time.
Good answer. Good job, kid. You can play for me. I had to get Birdie on this stuff.
Yeah. Who does he sound like?
I don't know.
You sound like somebody.
You don't sound thanks, like, Beetle. Everybody sounds
you
like
sound
somebody.
Like, no, like another Patriot it, player. Right.
You don't sound like you. That's all I know.
I don't.
What happened?
I don't know, but then like you get a hold of me after Parcells had me for a couple of years. And I had a cowboy hat on, a ripped shirt, Guns N' Roses. I was giving it back to him. Like, that's a different dude. That's a dude with swagger and confidence. Get a couple wins under your belt, you start thinking differently, you know?
Something happened.
Bring his freak in from Washington and got the big head. You can shine a movie on it.
Are you looking at your phone, Hardy? We just got a picture of what Zoe looked like on that show. He sat there wearing his
after
Maryland,
he was drafted.
Wearing his Maryland.
You never know who you're going to meet.
His Maryland football jersey.
Oh, my God.
Why did you wear a jersey on television?
This is off. I did a camp down there in D.C. So I was out teaching kids on a camp. And they said, hey, can you come in and do a sit-down with
got
us?
Got it.
So that's why I have the high-top sneakers on with sweatpants.
It's like between two ferns, but there's only one fern.
That's a nice backdrop, isn't it? Like the one fern in the middle?
On either side of a fern.
Where'd they pick it off? The end of a coffin? doesn't it look like the end plant? Those are one of two implants at the end one part of a coffin.
That is something.
Jesus.
That is awesome. Let's go to some of your calls.
Chair midget sits in. Jesus.
Let's go to Smith in L.A. on Bill Belichick. Hey, Smith.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey.
I'm looking at Bill Belichick's career before Tom Brady, and he's got one winning season. I'm looking at him with Drew Bledsoe, who was a first-round pick in the draft, and he's got a 5-11 season. I'm looking at Tom Brady, and everything changes. You guys were saying, you know, kind of laughing at Andy Dalton. I think Andy Dalton is far and away a better bet than Cam Newton. Cam Newton is, you know, number one, they're paying him $1 million. And I think that's why Belichick's, you know, giving him all
okay.
the compliments.
I like you brought this up. That's a good question. Right now, Beetle, if you had to choose between the two to move forward with this year, right now, Andy Dalton or Cam Newton, who would you choose?
Cam Newton.
I would choose Cam Newton. But I understand what he's saying. From a transitional standpoint, this is why a guy like Brian Hoyer was here. Brian Hoyer is that safe transitional guy, system guy. Or Andy Dalton could have been that guy. See, I don't think they would have loaded up to where Andy Dalton would be the next guy after Tom Brady. I think Cam Newton is the sort of perfect transitional piece. They weren't in on him in March, though, because of the money. Then he sits around till the end of June. Bang, he's there. So they take a chance on him. And it's a great opportunity for Cam to resurrect his career. He goes out and plays well, makes it work here. He can make it work anywhere. And someone's going to pay him. Or they can choose to pay him here. That's all. What are you laughing at?
Nah, Jim sent us the video. He's distracting us.
Damn it, Jim.
Dylan's in the car on Stidham and Newton. Dylan.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good. What's up?
Good, good. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I can't go with the whole Andy Dalton being a better transitional piece other than the fact that maybe, you know, it would have been better had they known they were trying to set up for Stidham to come in and be the starter eventually. But the way things have gone for camp, I'm starting to think that I think it's even possible that, unlike last year, Brian Hoyer beats out Stidham in camp this year, especially with that weird soft tissue injury that popped up out of nowhere for a kid his age. You know, I think it's quite possible that he either ends up being third on the depth chart and they keep Cam Newton and Brian Hoyer, or if they go with two quarterbacks, they put, you know, Hoyer, maybe, if, you know, there's still a sneaky injury underlying there. They put him on you know, in temporary injury reserve.
They're going to carry three. Dylan, I'm 99% sure they're going to carry all three guys.
I would agree with you, Beto. I think that's probably where they're going to go. I just feel like the way that the three of them have been performing in camp, it's Cam because of the fact that he's Cam and he's doing well and they want to change things and go with him. And then if they need to fall back on somebody, I'm still more comfortable falling back on a veteran like Brian Hoyer than Stidham, who's thrown two, three professional passes.
I would agree with that, but it depends on where they're at in the season. If the Patriots get out to a good start and they're, you know, 4-2 after six games, okay, then I would say if something happens to Cam Newton, you go to Hoyer. If the Patriots stink, there's no value in going to Hoyer. There isn't.
Yeah.
The value is in going to Stidham and seeing what you have and giving him some time to develop. And let me use a phrase from the fellow that was interviewing you. So, on-the-job training, you know? Maybe you get some on-the-job training as opposed to sitting there on the bench.
Isn't that a crazy world, though? Because, like, even Bedard and all the other people agree, like, from start to finish, who looks like the safest bet? And everybody says it's Hoyer.
Yeah.
But who are you going to play? It's going to be Cam. Like, you could come in, do everything the right way, look like you have the best handle on things, but more of a ceiling with the other guy. We're going to go with the other guy.
Chris in New Hampshire on who Zoe sounded like. Who did Zoe sound like?
I think he sounds like James Vanderbeek from Varsity Blues.
I don't want your life.
I don't want your life.
Your life.
In the season, and, you know, hopefully I really establish myself in New England.
Kids at home that may not know of you or
the kids at home. The kids at home aren't watching this.
There's no one watching this.
Attracting this summer's camp.
There's no one watching.
The camp, summer camps are great. Great for kids.
Shut this off, Jim.
It's great for kids. It's great. Get them out there, play a little,
you know,
football.
Summertime, they can come to camp, and, you know, game's on. Game's on when you get to camp.
What camp you been in, pal? Hey, you can run around. They can take a hook of left by the porta potty. Maybe bang cut next to the bocce grill.
I care a lot about kids. I'm a 22-year-old Scott Zolak. I love children.
I love kids. I love kids all ages as long as they're over 17. 17-year-old older kids, 18-year-olds.
Kids at home that may not know of you or some of the players are coming this summer, what can you tell them as far as attracting them to this summer's camp?
The camp, summer camps are great, great for kids. It's a big thing for kids to get to the camps. They meet a lot of, you know, professional athletes, professional coaches, high school coaches. And not only that, the big thing is that they learn a lot from them. They learn great techniques. They learn those techniques, take those techniques home, study them more,
home.
Work on
home. Take those techniques home. That's a Western PA thing right there. Home.
When did your attitude on camps change? Because now you say camps suck. They're a waste of money. They're all a scam.
Yeah.
When did that change?
When they stopped paying to work the camps.
The more money we got, the more we got to pay.
When Zoe's no longer being paid at the camp.
Sign the kids up, people.
Camp sucks. Yeah. That's what the story is there. We've got the Bruins in the mix all day. Their season came to a close last night. Your thoughts on the future of the Bruins as it relates to Zdeno Chara and Torey Krug and Tuukka Rask. That's all still in the mix. We're talking about it all day long. Of course, some of the Cam Newton stuff, the Brady book excerpt or the Dynasty book excerpt. Also, why don't we throw a little baseball in the mix?
Oh, yeah.
Next. Why don't we do that? There was a comment made yesterday.
Unbelievable comment.
By the general manager, baseball boss of the Red Sox, Chaim Bloom. He's not the GM, but
he better hope he's not.
Baseball executive Chaim Bloom.
Hope he's not.
Had something that I just found so laughable
startling.
And ridiculous.
Startling.
And we'll talk to Brad Stevens at 12:50. So you've got nowhere to go. Stick with us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Former QB, always laser focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. I'm sleep on a hot spot, on a hot rock.
And the guy who was always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is the fact that that you didn't move Jackie Bradley any indication of what your plans are for him over the long term?
No, look, we love Jackie. That shouldn't be news. You know, he's been here for a long time. He means an enormous amount to this organization. You know, for me personally, not having known him as long, I've still just come to regard him so highly and see what an incredible person he is. We know he's a good player. We'd love to have him here for a long time. You know, but that was the case. You know, that was the case months ago. It was the case yesterday, case today, case tomorrow. So I don't think there's anything to read into that today, but it shouldn't be news. That's how we've always felt about Jackie.
Stunning. One word. Maybe two words. Tune out.
I got something on this. That's Heim Bloom yesterday talking about how much he loves Jackie Bradley Jr. and how much he wants Jackie Bradley Jr. to be here. You're full of crap.
What?
You're a liar. You're lying to us. You might like Jackie Bradley a lot as a person. You might love him.
Who doesn't?
I don't care. But don't tell me.
This has nothing to do with the person.
Don't tell me you didn't trade Jackie Bradley Jr. yesterday because he's a part of your vision for the future. That I will not believe.
That makes him a bad baseball
player. I refuse to believe that.
Yeah, you better.
Refuse to believe it. You must be lying.
So then what's the game?
If there was an offer on the table that could help the future of the Red Sox yesterday in trading Jackie Bradley Jr.
Say no-name pitcher with big upside.
He would have been on the first flight out of Logan. Don't tell me you would not have traded Jackie Bradley Jr. yesterday.
People don't want
and
him.
And that's why it didn't happen.
People don't want
that,
him.
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and call you a liar. I'm going to do you the favor, Heim Bloom, of calling you a liar on that one and saying that's just you doing a good job of having good relationships with the guys that are currently on your roster. Because if that's true, you are not cut out for this.
That guy,
you are not very good at your job.
That guy, Pilar, he's a decent outfielder, right? A much better hitter than Jackie Bradley Jr., right? At a much cheaper
cost.
There
was a market for him.
That guy got shipped.
There was a market for him.
I wonder why there's
no market for Jackie Bradley Jr.
Oh, because he's overpaid.
It didn't exist.
Right.
That's why he didn't get traded. Not because he loves Jackie Bradley Jr. Stop it. Yes, we know how great he is defensively. He is overpaid, and he can't hit.
Right.
Oh, he's just such an incredible blah, blah, blah. Well, do you remember what he said about Xander Bogaerts 2 weeks ago? Was it
Nothing like this. No.
Approaching what he said yesterday about Jackie Bradley Jr.?
No.
Oh, it's painful.
No.
That was hard to listen to.
You know what makes that hard, too, is if you're a baseball guy and you're a baseball player and you hear this and you play with him, you know, like, okay, it's not working with that guy. That guy makes that. And that GM there is going to say that about him. I don't want to go there. I don't want to play there. This guy's a bad baseball guy. You take that as a baseball answer. That can't be a baseball answer.
That's got to be about...
Dude, we took this
being
for years.
On good terms,
this,
right?
This took years and years of the development. It's going to pop. And then we're counting years, 7, 8, 9. Oh, my God. You're past the prime and the developmental stage of the player. Like, you've hit a ceiling. He's not going to get better.
I had it yesterday. I want to double check it to make sure I don't get it wrong today. I looked up the OPS of outfielders, qualified outfielders in Major League Baseball. And I just want to double check and see that the ranking is still the same. Oh, it's not. He's actually moved up 3 spots since yesterday. As of yesterday, out of 60 qualified players, to be a qualified player statistically, you have to have 3.1 plate appearances per game. The statistics are updated nightly. I have this page up and bookmarked on ESPN.
Nice.
Jackie Bradley, out of 60 qualified major league outfielders, ranks 55th in OPS in the majors. Yesterday, he was 58th. There were only 2 guys behind him in Major League Baseball. And that's not some anomaly for him. That's who he is.
And that's a GM of the Boston Red Sox, not some schlep team.
He's tremendous defensively.
Team.
I mean, I'm not going to take that away.
No, nobody said that. We're not grading him as an overall baseball player.
But there's value in defense. I'm not going to say there isn't. There is. There's great. He brings great value defensively. He sucks at the plate. You could give up the defense for a better player.
You wouldn't take
and if there was a trade offer yesterday on the team, you know, from a team presented to the Red Sox, they would have taken the offer. I'm not going to believe them on this.
I mean, a week ago, his name's numbered at the top of the list of players to be traded or out there that they want to move.
And further,
now all of a sudden you don't want to move him?
What a short-sighted move to bring him back on this deal this year for the Red Sox. What was the point of this? What was the point of bringing him back on the $11 million in a year that is a complete disgrace? By the way, about 20 minutes ago, the Red Sox sent out a tweet from their account. They're trying to stay hip. They're trying to say, you know, stay cool with the kids.
Oh, is that Carmine the computer?
Using all the internet lingo. Mm. And so it's IYKYK, which means if you're not hip to the lingo, if you know, is what it means. And it's a picture of someone hitting a button on a keyboard that says reset. Well, okay. So you're just reminding us all that you're resetting. You think we couldn't figure that out from the wretched product you've put on the field this year?
Oh, you mean the only two starting pitchers they had, and then the other ones were unannounced 4 days before?
Okay. I mean, when we learned, like, in the first week of the season, oh, they're going to do a lot of openers. Oh,
boy, they're going to suck. They know how to alienate people, boy.
You know, and I stayed all positive about them before the season, and I'm like, yeah, just be that eighth team.
Have a good lineup. Have a fun lineup to watch.
I think they could go 500, right?
Just be eight.
Like, be 500 or a game over, and I think they could be a forget it.
And you got angry for laughing at you. 500, make the playoffs.
Wow.
From day one, I said, no chance.
Don't be great. Just be eight.
No chance.
Come on, they could be that eighth team. There's a lot of bad teams in the American League. I did not know the Red Sox were going to sink as hard as they have to the bottom.
They don't have any pitching.
Of baseball.
They have an outfielder, though. He ain't going anywhere. We're going to keep him a long time. Oh, man.
Priorities.
And I get it. August 31st happened, and the CBT reset. Like, that's part of this tweet, too.
Mitch Moreland and Pilar got moved.
I think it goes just beyond a CBT reset, which we certainly celebrated yesterday.
Well,
so
what a day.
We could take that to mean they're ready to spend their money, right? Let's
wisely.
Hope they are.
Wisely.
Let's hope they're spending the money.
Wisely, though.
Let's not spend it on Jackie Bradley Jr. Oh, he's just such an incredible guy. Blah, yeah, blah, blah.
We love him.
Oh, yeah.
We love him.
He's the best. He really is. Wonderful.
Talk about shelf life. Jesus.
God.
Yeah.
I find that I don't enjoy listening to Heim Bloom.
Well, it sounds like he talks down to you.
There is very a little bit
there's a robotic delivery.
There is a little bit of that Yale douchiness to him that we love.
We're trying to explain it to you to put it in human terms the best we can, us baseball people or baseball expertise that we have. But it's just tough. It's tough when we try to minimize.
You know, Dombrowski had a little bit of this, too. Dombrowski had that element to him where he talked down to everybody.
A little swagger to him,
wasn't
though.
All that transparent.
He's a silver fox,
I think there's some similarities.
He went out to Dunkin' Donuts with the boys, right?
That guy stamped. Stop. Yeah.
Which, again, was all nonsense, too.
But he had a little Parcells flair to him. Like, tell you what it's about.
I agree. Bloom sounds like he's, like Zoe said, like he has to think about what he's saying to make sure that you're going to understand what he's saying without being, like, over your head.
I just yearn for the days of Theo.
You know what he sounds like? Like, I got a computer problem, and I call Charlie and the guys downstairs to come up and fix it. Well, you know, it's a reverse language barrier that we have here. So as long as I move this one, shift this one, you have to press the ampersand button. You do this one, then hold down F23. I'm like, why? I don't know. That's what we do in our business. I'm like, okay. Thank you. Just fix the computer. Like, just put a baseball team out. I need to hear from you. This Heim Bloom thing, just not that great right now. This could be a long time, bud. This team might not be good for a long time.
No, that's not true.
Ownership
will get in the way.
Yeah.
But if it were up to Heim Bloom, he'd go down right to the bottom.
What if Eddie Rodriguez
start drafting guys and start finding value and do it on the cheap?
Yeah, what if Eddie doesn't feel right? What if Chris Sale's arm ain't great?
This is what you want the Bruins to do, right?
No. Don't do that today.
I heard that earlier.
That's not what I said.
Yeah.
By moving on from some an overpriced free agent and aging veterans... Like a couple of them?
Let Tuukka go. Let Tuatori Crew go and trade
I didn't say
Krejci.
Let Tuukka go. I'd take Tuukka back. No problem.
All right.
I'm not anti-Tuukka for next year.
Yeah.
He likes $7 million goalies. I think I'm going to get sick.
Why are you going to get sick?
This is sports is back, and now sports not back. And here's your baseball team.
Now we're transitioning to another sport. If you could trade Tuca to free up the money to sign someone else long-term on the free agent in free agency,
yes,
you would do it.
Yes.
And I would do it, too.
Yep.
You got to be flexible now, Jim. Everything's on the table.
Oh, maybe. Next week, NFL opening weekend, maybe.
You could be a contender again in a couple of years and be built for another, you know, sort of run.
That's all.
Can't just let everybody get old on the roster and just keep trying to, you know, drive it.
Where the hell, Sam, speaking of baseball, where the hell Sam Kennedy been?
Well, he's been laying low.
We haven't heard from that
I'd lay low right now. If I was the president of this team, you wouldn't be hearing from me either. It's an embarrassment.
Someone told me they saw him in Harwich.
Yeah. I'd go on vacation. She would be getting the hell out of
my
here.
Head up why either.
Why don't you stay away for a little bit?
Stay underground.
Yeah.
Take
a few plays off.
617-779-0985. Gordon Hayward is going to leave the bubble, go back to the bubble, leave the bubble again.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that, and we'll talk to Brad Stevens at 1250.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What's up? Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Solak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We did mention Gordon Hayward before. What are you expecting on him? What's the latest?
Well, I always know to expect effort, and, you know, there's nothing more frustrating than, you know, you have 2 years of rehab, basically, and now you got another month or whatever it is of rehab. I hear he's coming back to the bubble. And we're all excited about that, but that he's not ready to play yet. And
is he coming back to the bubble? Is he going to leave again for the berth, or is what are we?
Well, that's up to him. But I think the plan. I haven't quizzed Gordon about that. So, but I think he's planning to leave, and would be understandable to leave for the birth of his impending birth of his child. So he'll be there. He'll be back. If we get far enough, hopefully we'll have Gordon back on the court with us. And that's not tomorrow.
It's good Felger and Maz rejoin music.
Woo! Wick on Gordon Hayward. He's going to go back to the bubble, leave the bubble for the birth of the child, and then go back to the bubble again.
Stupid question, but maybe a not stupid question. Are they better without Gordon Hayward?
Oh.
I think they're better without Gordon Hayward. I think you get a different Marcus Smart.
Oh. Okay. So you think Hayward move on without him?
Because I think Hayward, everybody else that I watch, they exert. Now, it's nothing to do with effort or physicality. He's sort of a floater. He's there. And he'll get his. But you watch Brown, Tatum attack.
I think Zoe should ask Brad Stevens today, next segment, 10 minutes, say, Brad, are you lucky that Gordon Hayward is injured because you're better off without him?
Did you hear the first thing that I said there coming out, though? I said, stupid question, but maybe not a stupid. I think that guy would view that as a stupid question.
I think you should ask.
Ask him about his guy that he coached at Butler and brought here for over $30 million a year. Are you better without him, Coach?
At the very least, we do need
that'll get me in good with
we
him.
Need to practice the first question. We didn't get a chance to talk to him last week, right? Or you guys didn't talk to him last week when all the stuff was going down.
Oh, he canceled on us.
So
practice right now.
We need to. Good. Do you have a real question ready?
I do.
What is it?
All right. Well, bring me in then.
All right. Do we welcome in Brad Stevens, head coach of the Celtics from the bubble in Orlando? Hi, Coach.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Coach, the fact that you're on to the next round, family members are now allowed to be down in a bubble to watch games. Or are they also allowed to go to the theme park? And do your kids enjoy that?
Scott, they're back in school in Wellesley. Tracy's not here.
We're trying to help.
Maybe think it's like Jimmy Butler and this is a dude zone only. It should just be a dude zone.
I don't know.
I don't know that I would consider anything about that to be lucky.
Not going to
do that. Here's what you ask, though.
What?
Without Gordon Hayward, is it easier with your rotations?
No. He's going
to
say
still. I think he still takes it the same way, Jim. He's going to be careful with that question. He's ready for that.
Ask him, yeah, is your job easier?
Team looks
now
good.
Now that you have fewer players to use.
Team looks good right now. Are they like they're
micro role players?
Is it easier on anyone? Like for the locker room staff, do they have to stock less hair care products because Gordon Hayward isn't there? He's always perfectly coiffed out there on the court.
You want to have some fun? You want to go down a wormhole? Look at some old Gordon Hayward pictures when he was in college and stuff before he got money and
his long
learned,
hair?
Learned style.
His long dorky hair.
Like it's a different
like
dude.
Bowl
man.
Cut. Bowl cut Hayward?
Different dude. Different dude. Money fixes a lot of things, man.
Yeah. He can afford a haircut now?
Is she going to let him come back?
So what do you make of that, though?
Why come back?
Why do you make of the he's back here.
He's back here. He's going to go back, then go back, then go back.
He's going to.
What's he going back in the bubble for before the baby's born?
I'd stay for the baby.
To continue the rehab, I guess.
I think team looks good.
You can't rehab here?
You go to the Arbuck Center all day.
I'm just
they got people there.
Was it B-Rob or somebody, one of the Celtics, maybe Forsberg, said that the wife was in Indiana
she
with
is.
Her family.
She's in Indianapolis.
Ooh. So maybe he didn't want to stay with the wife's family.
Oh, someone's got to get the
go
ice
back
chips.
To the bubble.
Oh.
Someone's got to get the ice chips during the birth process. Breathing.
Yeah.
One,
I mean,
two,
just count. I just from reading Himmelsbach, he said, Hayward left the Orlando bubble to continue his rehabilitation and will face a four-day quarantine when he returns. Mm. Also, Hayward's wife, Robin, in September is expecting the couple's fourth child, and Hayward was already planning to be with his family for the baby's birth.
That feels like a lot of travel. So snip, snap, snip, snip. Yeah. Snip, snap, snip.
I'm sorry?
And out and back and forth. Back and forth. Zip, zip, zip. When I have kids, you don't have kids. You have kids? Yeah. Like back and forth, back and forth. I'd stay rehab. Have the baby, and then come back.
Snip, snap, snip.
Let's go to Josh in Worcester. Hey, Josh.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, just on Hayward. I'm not a fan of his. I think his defense is pretty bad. But without him, I don't know how the Celtics score from the bench. I mean, you got to get 30 points from the bench. Who scores if Smart's in the starting rotation? To replace Hayward. I mean, Wanamaker maybe. Williams had 10 the other night, but where else do you get the production?
So
it's a great question.
You like that he's gone though? Or no?
I think his defense is terrible. But I think we miss his scoring. So I think you give a little bit up with the
Okay. Mm. And also you're not gonna have Marcus Smart shoot as well as he did the other night every game. I don't expect that every game.
You're not going to start him coming off an injury, coming back to the bubble. So that's an easy way for Stevens to say, you know what? You're a sixth man. We're not going to ruin a good thing.
But the other thing is, I think he's still a long ways off from playing. I mean, let's get some clarification on that from Brad Stevens. What would the timeline, what's the current timeline?
It was 4 weeks, right?
Yeah, but what is it currently? Because I feel like in reading the reports about him, he's feeling better, but he's not close. So we'll talk to Brad Stevens, head coach of the Celtics. He'll be on the line with us coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
This was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls after the top of the hour. Now let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics, getting ready for game two against the Raptors. Brad Stevens is with us. Hi, Coach. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Coach. You on that walk? You out there on that walk around that pond?
I am. I am.
Hey, yeah.
I've got my pregame walk in. I always try to schedule perfect sounds for you guys, but I guess he kind of fell short to the walk today.
Have you seen a gator in that pond yet?
Small one, a tiny one, baby one, the only one I've seen. I've been to the golf course a couple of times in the past 2 months, and there are bigger ones on the golf course. So stay away from the water with your shot. Probably an advisable move.
You got those quick legs.
Other than that,
yeah, you got the get skedaddle out of there. Hey, good start for your team on Sunday after the break you guys have, and I'm sure we'll get into what transpired and how good your team is at staying together through everything. But quickly after the game, you talked about points. I think it was off transition. There was a disparaging number there where I think it was recorded as 7, but you said it felt like 30. How did you approach that with your team as you get ready for the game here tonight?
Showed them all 29 points.
Those 29.
Right? Gave up 20. Yeah, so like they, I think a lot of times people just think of fast breaks as, you know, runouts or, being fouled on a layup that you got to the rim, but they don't necessarily think about when the defense is reasonably set, but they find a way to the rim anyways, or, you know, you don't handle a ball screen well, or you don't handle, you know, a trailing big well, you know, all those things. So we graded a lot differently than, you know, a box score would look at it per se. But so that's what. And, you know, this is the deal against these guys is you got to get back and set your defense. And it's not enough, just enough to be in a spot. You have to be long. You have to be active. You have to be deceptive. You have to be disruptive. And I think that, you know, there were a lot of plays where we were and did an excellent job. A lot of plays where we weren't. And if you would have told me we had 23 turnovers, which we did, and we only gave up 29 transition points, I would have said, I'll take it. But, you know, we got to clean both those areas up if we want to have a successful series.
When you're coaching in a series and you have all these games against the same opponent, how do you prepare for the changes that the other team will make and the adjustment that the other team will make? Do you ever put yourself in the position or mindset of the opposing coach saying, what would I do differently in the next game? And then you, as the coach of the Celtics, prepare for that?
Yeah, of course. I think that's the huge, like, that's the fun part about the playoffs. And I think that there are 4 to 6 things that we need to do a lot better, let alone just forget about like whatever they would do. Like, we need to be better in a bunch of different areas. And we really broke those down. And then, you know, you sit and you spend the 48 hours thinking about, okay, what have they done in the past when they've been in this situation? What are things that they could go to that you think might give you fits? What things that they can go to that could, you know, generate more points? You know, all those types of things. And they've got a lot of options. They're really well coached. They'll try anything and everything. And it's a testament to their team. They're so, again, well coached and so savvy that, you know, you got to be on your toes and ready for everything. But yeah, you have all those discussions for all 48 hours leading up to the game.
Well, based on that, I was expecting a different Toronto team in game one. So what do you expect them to do differently or better in game two this evening?
Well, I think that would probably be crazy for me to talk about right now. So I'll
you're out there on the pond. They're not listening. It's okay.
Nobody listens to this show.
Yeah, and I'm in the, like, I was thinking about this the other day. Somebody said, well, you're in the bubble. You probably don't know what's going on. But we do have the internet.
Oh,
you know, like, we do have a little, we have a little bit of an advantage to know what's going on. No, I think, listen, they're very good. They found some things late in that game that I think they'll do and go back to. They did some things that were, you know, generated good shots that they didn't make. Sometimes that happens in basketball. And I think that, you just got to be ready for all that stuff. But it all starts against Toronto with, are you going to be tough with the ball? Are you just going to hold the ball and stare at things and over dribble? Or are you going to get to where you need to go and get rid of it? Because if you hold it too long, they take the ball. And then when they take the ball, they get run out points. And now you're battling. Now your margin for error is so significantly decreased that you have to be better. So I think that it all starts with being tough with the ball. It all starts with running back on defense. But there are 1,000 little nuances they can try on both ends of the floor. And there are a lot of things that we need to do better that we'll try on both ends of the floor.
Robert Williams with 19 minutes in game one. Is this going to be a big series for him?
Good game one. Played well against him in the seeding game, you know, a couple weeks ago. But, you know, I think the challenge with our guards, the way people, you know, if you're going in and playing against us, you know, then Kemba and Jason and Jalen are so good, and Mark is so good shooting on pull-ups off of the pick and roll that, you know, Toronto's bigs are up, and if their bigs are up, then you got to get behind them. And Rob presents such a vertical threat behind the roll, on the roll, that, you know, he got a couple of dunks the other day, but, you know, Tice had a couple where he missed a couple, but he also got to the rim and made plays for others. But Toronto's going to, you know, they'll tweak how they're playing all the way through. You know, they'll have their bigs vary their depth. They'll have they'll play some zone when those guys are in. So we'll see how it goes. But, you know, Rob played well, and he'll get another opportunity tonight. But, you know, Ennis played well in Toronto on Christmas Day when we needed some rebounding. Grant Williams finished game one that we played against them during the regular season at the five. So, you know, we'll keep doing the hockey sub thing and do our best.
Your fourth line looks really good. I mean, just keep rolling those guys out there, and the perfection line will come right around. Hey, Gordon Hayward, and Wick was on with our afternoon show yesterday and kind of touched on a situation with him. It looks good, and he's dealing with some stuff at home, but he's going to come to the bubble, go back to the bubble, leave the bubble. Are you guys all on the same page? Are you feeling better about the prognosis of, you know, where he's at and how he's responded to some of the recovery here?
I mean, I think he's on his timeline that we thought initially, but, you know, we haven't seen him here in the last 10 days. So, you know, a lot of it is from, we have a trainer with him and, you know, they're working every day. So a lot of it's, you know, over the phone communication, but, you know, we feel good about it. He's going to come back, and when he gets back, he'll have to quarantine for however long and then just see how close he is. You know, we don't anticipate him being available any time before the 4 weeks. And I think 4 weeks might even be, you know, aggressive. But I do think that we'll see him when he gets back, and we'll see how it's going. But back to the hockey subs, how great would basketball be if you didn't have to sub during a dead ball?
Oh, right on the fly? Yeah, it would be awesome.
Or commit a foul, like, if somebody goes down, right? Like, get them off the ice. Yeah, get them off the court.
Oh, it'd be so great.
The speed of the game. That would be,
look at that.
That would be pretty intense.
Yeah, like Gordon was, like Jalen committed that foul. Gordon was limping off, and you could have sent somebody on it, didn't have to stop the damn game or commit a foul, you know?
I was watching some of the overtime last night of the Lightning Bruins, and, I mean, I don't think basketball players ever get that tired, right? Like, that's the way, the amount of physicality they have to play with for that long, and then as the game gets longer, you know, our guys certainly, if they play extended minutes, but, you know, usually there's a free throw in there, usually there's a dead ball or a sub or whatever the case may be. But I'd say less reviews, more hockey subs might be a good way to do it.
All right, Coach, we got to ask you about the pause that the season took a couple of days ago, and it's certainly historic in that we've never been in this position before where sports decided to start shutting down for a cause. I know it's fresh in your mind, but, you know, years from now, how do you think you'll remember what played out over the last week or so?
You know, I think being in it, being here, the thing that I'll always remember was the same thing that you probably felt in Boston, that people probably felt in Wisconsin, that people probably felt all over the world. And that's just like this sadness. Like, why does this keep happening, right? Why, when a guy has his back to a police officer, does he get shot seven times with his kids in the car and the trauma that's associated with it? And I think that you felt the sadness all around here in this small bubble. It didn't matter that the people walking around were some mega stars or superstars of sports. They were just sad people. And you could feel it. It was evident. It was across everyone. And so the idea of pausing, reflecting, and what I heard Doc say, refocusing, like our intentions on what's important, I think was really important for everybody. I think that that's the part that I'll remember. It's the human element. It's the part that people don't always see when they're talking about their sporting icons and their favorites. You know, I got to sit in the room the next day So I was in the big meeting with everybody, but then I got to sit in the room the next day with, you know, a couple players from each team, just a few of us coaches, and then the ownership groups were on Zoom, and, you know, that's the thing that stood out. It was just a bunch of, you know, people that were hurting, trying to figure out how we could proceed forward but still make a big difference. And I've tried to, you know, communicate to our guys that I think they've made a big difference, you know, and my best gauge of that is when I call home, that's what my kids talk about. And so, you know, and I know that their friends are talking about it. And so I think that that's important for them to continue to.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.